Today's scripture reading is taken from Zechariah chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. Verse 1. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regem-Melech and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord, saying to the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, "Should I weep and abstain in the fifth month, as I have done for so many years?" Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, "Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous, with her cities around her, and the south and the lowland were inhabited?" And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called and they would not hear, so they called and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. I hope everyone is encouraged through the sermon and Bible studies on Zechariah. The book of Zechariah is set after the exile returned from Babylon to Jerusalem. God's people had returned to their homeland after around 70 years of exile in Babylon. In previous weeks, we have learned that Zechariah's call for the people of Judah to repent, to stop their evil ways and turn back to God, and not to be like their previous generation who rebel against God. Return to me, and I will return to you. We have also just finished Zechariah's night visions, where God spoke to Zechariah to encourage the people as they rebuild the temple. So now the work on the rebuilding of the temple is progressing nicely. In 2 more years, it will be completed. However, God comes back to them with 2 summons of warning through Prophet Zechariah. Today, we shall touch on the first summon after the night visions, and next week, we will have the second sermon. Come, let us pray. Let us go to God in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the sharing of His Word. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask of You to grant us a listening heart to hear Your Word this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds be focused on You. May Your Spirit guide me in delivering Your Word and ministering to Your people in today's sharing. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a little boy with his father, and the little boy said, "Dad, did Grandpa make you go to Sunday school when you were my age?" His father replied, "He sure did. We went every Sunday." The boy said sadly, "Well, I reckon it won't do me any good either." It is not good enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just go to church. Our posture of going to church stems from the heart to worship God with genuine heart. A heart motivated to please God with our transformed lives. A heart that is set right with God. So what is your motivation of coming to church? What compels you to come to church? Why do you do what you do? Why do we come to church? Is it for personal gain? Is it for personal agenda? Is it for God and God alone? Why do we do what we do? Our intentions are often more important than our actions. What compels the exiles to fast? Why did they do what they do? Where are the Jews at this point in Zechariah 7? 2 years and 1 more month have passed since the 8 visions of chapter 1 to 6. The book of Haggai teaches us that the temple construction began in the 2nd year of King Darius. And Ezra chapter 6 verse 15 teaches us that the temple was finished during the 6th year of King Darius. We are now in the 4th year of King Darius. Where are the Jews at this point in Zechariah 7? They are at the halfway point of the temple's construction, the temple rebuilding. In Zechariah chapter 7 verse 1 to 3, it says, "At this time, a delegation from the town of Bethel arrives to entreat the favor of the Lord." To entreat the favor of the Lord means to seek relief from difficult situation. So the delegation came and asked the priests and prophets in Jerusalem on the religious practice of fasting. They asked, "Should I weep and abstain in the 5th month as I have done for so many years?" God's people in Bethel wanted to know if they needed to continue weeping, continue grieving, and abstaining in the 5th month as they have done for so many years. God's people had developed the practice of fasting and grieving over the destruction of Jerusalem. So the question here involved in keeping of certain Jewish fasts that were related to the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. In Zechariah chapter 7 verse 3 tells us that they were weeping and abstaining in the 5th month. It was the 7th day of the 5th month that Jerusalem was destroyed by the hands of the Babylonians. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 5 tells us that they fasted and mourned in the 7th month. It was in the 7th month that Gedaliah, the government of Jerusalem, was assassinated. In Zechariah chapter 8 verse 19, there's mention of 2 more fasts, one in the 4th month and another in the 10th month. In the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. In the 4th month, Nebuchadnezzar penetrated the city. So for the past 68 years, the Jews had observed this fast, these dates as fast. But now with the temple and the Jerusalem being rebuilt, this delegation wonder whether they should continue to observe this fast. "Should I weep and abstain in the 5th month as I've done for so many years? We have been faithfully participating in this fast for so many years. Is it time to stop now?" So what is their question all about? What is the heart behind the question? Do we need to mourn the fall of the temple now that the temple is being restored? Do we need to weep about the fall of Jerusalem now that we are back in Jerusalem? Do we need to continue to mourn the bad things now that the good things are here? Do we need to continue to mourn and fast on the fall of the old temple since the rebuilding project, the restoration of the temple, is well underway? It seems that their question just needs a simple yes or no. But what is the heart behind their question? What is the heart condition of these post-exilic Jews? God recognized the issue behind their question. So God answers the prophet Zechariah with not a yes or no, but differently. So where are the Jews right now? God draws the attention to their heart's issue. He answered their question with another question regarding their love for him. Verse 5 says, "When you fasted and mourned, was it for me that you fasted?" What was God saying when he asked that question? What was God's heart behind the question for the post-exilic Jews? Was it really for me that you fasted? Were you fasting for me, even for me? Ask the Lord. Why have you fasted all these years? Was it for yourself? Was it for me? What was God really saying? Where am I in your heart? Where am I in your heart? God rebuked the Jews to Zechariah. God questioned their sincerity and indicated that their fasts were empty rituals and not heart of repentance. Outwardly, they seemed to be aligned with God with their fast, but inwardly, they were far away from God. Outwardly, they seemed to be aligned with God with their fast, but inwardly, they were far away from God. Their fasting and feasting were for themselves and not for God. God wants them to search their hearts and consider what motivates them to fast. God points out that they were doing this thing for themselves and not for God. In verse 7, God reminds the people that this is the same message which condemned the nation for this same sin that was given to them by the earlier prophets, including Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel before the destruction of Jerusalem. So they should know the answer to their question. Verse 7 says, "Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets, where Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous, with her cities around her, and the south and the lowland was inhabited?" The outward expression of fasting needs to come from the inward expression of repentance. The outward expression of fasting needs to come from the inward expression of repentance. God wants repentance, not ritual. God wants transformation, not tradition. The psalmist says in Psalmist says in 51, verse 16 to 17, he says, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The psalmist said about God who wants a broken and contrite heart. The outward expression of fasting needs to come from the inward expression of repentance. So what does it mean for us today? How about ourselves? When we worship, we must examine ourselves to why we are doing what we are doing. So why do you fast? Or why do you come to church? Are we here because we want to worship God? Or is there some other reason within us? When we sing, Are we doing it for the Lord or for ourselves? When we participate in the Lord's Supper, are we participating it as a ritual? Or is it a heart of repentance moved by the power of the cross? God is clear that He does not want rituals. What He wants from us is repentance, a heart that is set right with God. It is not about fasting or feasting that matters to God, but it is the heart that sets right with God. When you fasted and mourned, God asked, was it for me, even for me? The heart behind the question is important. They need to examine their hearts. We need to examine our hearts. Whether why are we doing what we are doing? Is it a heart of repentance or is it about ourselves? Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, "We can worship religion, and we can be very religious without God. I mean by that we can be very punctilious in the observance of days and times and seasons. We can fast, we can deny ourselves things, and the whole time we are just centering upon ourselves and thinking about how we are going to improve ourselves and make ourselves better. We may be highly religious, but there may be no place for God. Or even He does comes in, He is simply there as someone who may be of help to us. We are at the center of our religion. Our religion really is a religion without God. And that is, I suppose, the last and the ultimate sin." How does a heart that turns to God look like? How does a heart of repentance look like in the life of God's people? Does a heart that turns to God with a heartfelt fasting for the Lord is demonstrated in how we treat one another? Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8 to 14 says, "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." A heart that turns to God will render true judgment, show kindness and compassion, mercy and love, and will not take advantage of others who are vulnerable. The people should not oppress the widows, the orphans, foreigners, or poor people, nor should they think evil of others. The heart that turns to God is a heart of repentance, real repentance, that will bring transformation in our life. That is the point that God wants to make in this last section of this chapter. Zechariah called for a genuine fast that involved active pursuit of justice, kindness, and mercy, rather than abstaining from God. How does a heart that turns away from God look like? In verse 11 it says, "But they refuse to pay attention and turn a stubborn shoulder and stop their ears that they might not hear. They make their hearts diamond heart, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts has sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I call and they will not hear, so they call, I will not hear, says the Lord." of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. How does a heart that turns away from God look like? They refuse to pay attention. They turn a stubborn shoulder to the Lord. They close their ears so that they do not hear. They make their hearts as hard as diamond so that they will not obey the law, nor the words that the prophets spoke to them. How does a hardened heart look like? Have you experienced a hardened heart before? Years ago, my heart was hardened because of someone who was a housemate with me, and she did something. She borrowed a jacket from me, my only nice blue jeans jacket in Australia. And one day, she sprayed perfume on my jacket and returned without washing it. And I was so mad with her that I closed my door on her. And what she did was, she knocked on the door, "Carol," and I refused to open. My heart was just hardened to refuse to forgive her. What does a hardened heart look like? To refuse to open the heart. Well, the story is chastised by God, and I opened the door. The heart that turns away from which is the failure of the pre-exilic Israelites to listen and obey God in these areas and others. Was what led them to captivity and exile. It's a warning for the returnees to examine themselves and repent of their self-seeking ways. The call to turn to God, the call to return to God, to repent, is also found in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. It's repeated here again. Their hearts were not set right with God. They were not listening to God. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13 says, "As I call, they will not hear. So they call, and I will not hear, says the Lord of hosts." They were not doing what they knew God wanted them to do. But they make sure to keep the fast and continue to keep their worship days. They continue to turn away from God. You cannot be fasting and mourning and crying out or praying if you have no interest in listening to God. Their hearts were not set right with God because they were not listening. Their hearts were hardened. Other prophets also make this point about hardened hearts. "I hate, I despise your feasts. I can't stand the stench of your solemn assembly. Even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will have no regard for your fellowship offerings of fattened cattle. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice flow like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream." God is watching the heart. God knows the real reason why you do or do not do what you are doing. God wants us to examine our hearts, to see if our hearts is set right with Him. Is our devotion merely lip service, or does it flow from a repentant heart? Charles Spurgeon says, "A man never does a thing well if his heart is not in it. No painter has attained to excellence unless he has mixed his colors, not only with his brains, but with the lifeblood of his heart. Success comes not to heartless efforts. Certainly it is so in the service of the living God. He will not accept a sacrifice which lacks the lifeblood of a warm, affectionate intent. Brethren, nobody is good by accident. No man ever became holy by chance. There must be a resolve, a desire, a panting, a pining after obedience to God. Or else we shall never have it. Set your heart then to seek the Lord your God. We must resolve to set our hearts right with God by turning our hearts to Him. Have you gone for any health screening? We go for health screening because we want to check up on our physical health. Some of the illnesses are hidden. Without a health screening, we are not able to detect any hidden sickness and not able to set right with our health. Health screening, health check, help us to manage our health. We can look all right on the outside, but some of us are not able to detect any illness inside without health screening or health check. Likewise, we need spiritual checkup. We need spiritual screening so that we can know the status of our spiritual health. God warns the Jews to Zechariah that they need to examine their hearts. God wants them to renew their hearts in Him. He issued a warning of hearts that turn away from Him. It is not the fasting nor feasting that pleases God. It is a heart that turns to Him that pleases Him. The rebuilding project of the temple is about to be completed. In fact, it will be 2 years' time before the completion of the rebuilding of the temple. Before the rebuilding project is completed, God is interested in the renewing of their hearts for Him. It is no use to have a building to be up, but the hearts of the people are not set right with God. It is no use to fast all these 68 years without the repentance of their hearts. How is your heart this morning? Perhaps it is time to examine our hearts, especially as we are to begin the rebuilding of our renewal project. It is a time of renewal of our hearts for the Lord. Time to examine our hearts and motives in why we do what we do. So let's do a spiritual checkup this morning. Let us be the one who turn our hearts to the Lord with humble and repentant heart. Let us take this time to ponder, to check up our spiritual health. Would you close your eyes right now and spend a moment to draw near to God and see, is there any way that you have not been right with God? God called us this morning to set right with Him. Come, let us pray. Dear loving God, a broken and repentant heart, You will not turn away. So hear our prayers today. In the words used by Your servant David, we plead, God, we invite Your searching gaze into our hearts. Examine us true and true. Set our hearts right with You. See and find out everything that may be hidden within us. put us to the test and sift through our anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain you are walking on, and lead us back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings us back to you. Amen.